A few days ago, I sat inside of the Point Defiance Elementary School with students, parents, concerned citizens, and representatives of the Satanic Temple to talk about the Satanists' new after-school program, After School Satan. Sure, the fun may have been outside, complete with bagpipes, carted in concern, and enough microwave trucks to instantly cook a very sad holiday meal, but I'm content to watch that online. The fact is that Tacoma was one of the first cities announced by the Satanic Temple, and now we need to see the wholesale spectacle become a retail educational program. So rather than stay with the media circus, I went into the meeting itself. Media wasn't allowed, but I thought I had a good reason to go, even if I counted as media. I'm a Tacoman and thus have a taxpayer angle. I'm a local community activist nominally allied with the Satanists, and Becky, a highly regarded educator, wanted to make sure the program was on sound pedagogical footing. If I had to describe the overall feel of the room while the event was going on, I'd describe it as a convergent zone of cognitive dissonance. The Satanic Temple contingent had to keep the obvious political posturing at bay while spinning this up as a positive educational experience. The parents had to balance their concerns about the future of secular education with their fears of their children being targeted by the ideologically blinded. The Christians had to balance their war with the adversary against their growing knowledge that there were no actual adversaries in the room. Becky and I were continually divided between our desires to passively observe or to dive in and help where we could. Everyone was cordial, open, communicative, and continually terrified that something might go wrong at any moment. The countertops were low, everything was labeled in marker, and it was one of the most understatedly intense rooms I've been in for some time. But enough about the emotional landscape, let's get to the details. The educators provided by the Satanic Temple were Lilith Starr, head of the local chapter, Vapula Licks and Violet Black, who were assisting, and Aaron Botello, who appeared to be the main educational resource for Tacoma's after-school Satan implementation. There was no lack of documentation. They had the usual Satanic Temple pamphlets and statements of belief, their coloring books, and an eyes-only copy of their working curriculum. Curriculum was 80% of the reason we were in the room in the first place. I won't give you the details, since I was looking at it with the understanding that it wasn't public. You'll see them soon enough, as I'm pretty sure one of the Christians in the room left with a copy. But the idea is that the After School Satan Club won't show their curricular hand until the Good News Club releases their curriculum. Frankly, if you're familiar with Camp Quest or 4-H, there's really nothing concerning in the curriculum. It dislikes bullying, promotes equality in total, and appreciates the community and the environment. Any objection can only really come from the who, not the what. Of course, that's the whole purpose of the exercise. Building on their curriculum, the presentation by the Satanists was education-focused, but they were clearly situationally sensitive and met questions head-on. When asked about the mystically abusive reputation of the term Satanist, they referenced their seven tenets and denied any ritual tendencies. When asked about the more supernaturally focused Satanism in the Levayan crowd, they were quick to not only deny an affiliation, but to make sure specific differences were known. They acknowledged atheism and humanism, as well as the Satanists who believe that Satan actually exists. Starr's honesty and delicacy when questioned on the political ramifications, touching not only on the Hobby Lobby precedent, but specifically mentioning bodily autonomy in the continuing debate on contraceptives, made it clear that she was focused on making after-school Satan a positive experience and not just cheap political maneuvering. Questions of educational approach were ably addressed by Botello. The openness also made clear some of the weak points in the after-school Satan concept as a working program. The stated purpose is a protest against the Good News Club, and the Satanic Temple would not darken the door of any elementary school if their goals were met. My contribution to the discussion was a single question. If the Good News Club is compelled to leave, is there a caretaker organization or some plan in place if the students find value in the after-school Satan program? They hadn't considered that possibility. Another weak point was addressing the fears of the parents. One parent with a child at the school had serious questions about the school becoming a weekly circus and students in the after-school Satan program being specifically targeted by religious people and organizations. Botello had strong answers about interacting with participating students in this context, but the overall response of the Satanists left me feeling that they had no good answers for the spectacle the national organization was clearly trying to orchestrate. The overall best answer by the Satanic educators is a higher degree of parent observation and participation. The parents were completely on board. No wonder, considering the kind of circus they had to walk through just to be in this small classroom. The parents were also quick to ask questions not only about the nature of the Satanic Temple, but also about potential cult-like behavior within the after-school Satan Club. Starr made it very clear that there would be no shunning, no secrecy, and no proselytization. The parents were concerned about their children not only being targeted by religious groups, but also bullied by students within the school. I think this is a fair question, but in places like Point Defiance Elementary, it may already be too late. The good news clubs are already there, already gearing up to target children using other children in a culture that looks suspiciously like bullying. The predator is already loose in the guise of a shepherd. On one level, I appreciated the Christians who were at this open house. They asked a lot of questions and were open to the answers they received. They didn't seem to think that the people they were dealing with were the vanguard of some demonic force that would overtake the school. I identified with them almost immediately. They also did their own research, and this is where my empathy was nearly annihilated. Their sources seemed to be almost entirely influenced by the satanic panic of the 1980s and early 90s, complete with the presentation of an online tome regarding ritual satanic abuse, one that I'm nearly certain I also own, which references the discredited Mike Wernke. I pointed this out, mentioning the Cornerstone magazine debunking in the early 90s. That got their notice, but didn't prevent them from trying to hand out well-discredited satanic child abuse flyers to parents on their way out of the classroom. For their part, the kids were non-entities in this discussion. This may or may not be emblematic of the Satanic Temples program, but it is certainly emblematic of the Good News Club and their use of students as an exciting new resource in the Great Commission. For the Satanists' part, this was an open house for the parents, and unless I miss my guess, a great heatsink to keep the religious crazies away from the actual children who will participate. Much like my experiences with Camp Quest, the supplied curriculum doesn't function well without active student participation. After the classroom, after a circus not seen here since the last time AC/DC was in town, and after the fears of the parents, the life and death of this program may rest on the people who can steward it from a sound pedagogical approach. In Tacoma, that approach is in the hands of Aaron Botello, and those hands seem capable indeed. But does the Satanic Temple's theatrical approach, so effective in the case of a Baphomet statue in the Oklahoma State House, really work well with the addition of a children's program that the cognitively deprived media will undoubtedly cast as a children's auxiliary of Satanism? Do cries of Ave Satanas, coordinated black and red costumes, and a nom du diable really work when we're, figuratively speaking, messing with the karma of children? I don't know, but I can't help but notice my own cognitive dissonance when asking these questions. I am the Soviet long coat pot telling the black trench coat kettle that it's wearing black. I implicitly identify with these people. Not only the outsider approach, but the very optics that I find objectionable here have always been a part of my life, even as far back as the ages of the students the Satanic Temple is hoping to reach. I may not be able to join them, but I can't help but root for them. Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about, the Satanic Temple, which is an organization that we find ourselves on the show increasingly talking about.
Great.
Yeah. And joining me to have this discussion is Wes. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing pretty good.
Fantastic. And joining us for the first time in front of the microphone, but... you've been around for a long time, and I've been on, we've been podcasting together in previous places. Is Meredith, how are you?
Yes, I'm doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. So yeah, you're both on, Atheist Nomads. Would you like, now would be the time to plug if you'd like to plug.
Well, yeah, me and Dustin and his girlfriend Lauren on occasion, atheistnomads.com.
Fantastic. So you guys are both active in the Satanic Temple community here in the Seattle, Tacoma.
Yeah, and surrounding areas, yeah.
Yeah.
Fairly active, yeah.
How big does the regional territory extend?
Well, it pretty much extends until the borders of wherever the next temple is, and that is actually down in Portland now. They just opened a new one.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fairly new for them down there, so.
We actually have a member that comes from Port Angeles on regular occasion, so.
Oh wow,
yeah, I know.
That is a hike.
It's a bit of a haul. Yeah.
So for those of us for people not in the
it's 2.5-3 hours at least.
Yeah,
yeah,
because you kind of have to do like go around water and stuff at that point.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
For those of you like me from the Midwest and if you were in point A and you want to get to point B, you just sort of
you either drive long distances or hop on a ferry.
Yeah. There are huge bodies of water that you have to drive around here, which took me a long time to get used to. Well, the first story we're going to cover.
Mm.
Well, actually, before we talk about the stories, I've covered the Satanic Temple a lot on the show. You know, I've said some things. I've had conversations with people involved, you know, involved with the Satanic Temple, and I think they're doing a lot of work that other organizations like the FFRF generally can't because of the rhetorical positioning we take as atheists, where the Satanic Temple takes a different position because they are, in many respects, a religion.
Well, I mean, the FFRF, amazing groups, they take a lot of time and a lot of money to do things where, yeah. where you know, the Satanic Temple is able to do stuff with a little bit of activism and get stuff done so much quicker sometimes.
Well, the FFRF, I think, works specifically, and I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about the FFRF here, but they...
No, wonderful people.
Yeah, they work specifically in the legal domain. That is where they work, where... The Satanic Temple does a lot of work in the social domain, which is a different effect. And because you don't have the force of law or the rule of law or, you know, the things required to make law happen, it can move a lot faster.
Totally.
Correct.
So, I understand that you guys are not spokespeople for...
Definitely not spokespeople.
Yeah. No, we've had conversations with people who are. But I want to know... What it's like going in, you don't have to get into the details or names or anything like that, but I suspect that hanging out with the Satanic Temple in the Seattle area is similar to hanging out with just about any interest group that you could name, like any meetup group you could name.
I would say it's a lot like any atheist group that I attend, but just a lot more black.
Oh, okay.
As in we all wear black.
Okay, is that is that an intentional fashion trend, or is that just the way it works out?
Yes
probably,
and no.
Probably yes to both of those. I have a feeling that most everybody in there owns a lot of black clothing, and so it's just kind of a natural extension. It just shows up at the meetings also.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I wear a lot of black, but not for...
Black is the best color.
It really is. Like my soul.
Goes with everything.
Well, I think I've mentioned previously that, yeah, precisely. I've mentioned previously that my visual sense, my visual design sense is terrible. I mean, you can look around my house and get that idea, I think. I actually had to specifically read books about how colors work in order to match colors.
Okay.
Because I could not do it for a long time. And so a lot of my clothes, a trick I learned from my dad, a lot of my clothes are black because then I don't have to worry about matching.
Totally.
I just pull crap out of my...
But, you know, there's just as much geekery and nerdery in those discussions that I've had over there as the, you know, me and you and Mike and everybody else have over here. So pretty much the same kind of thing.
Okay. Well, we should probably do some news stories then. This news story is sort of a lead into... This is not about the Satanic Temple, but a lot of what we're going to be talking about in this segment has to do with this particular story. A new Texas policy regarding the disposal of medical remains after abortions will take effect before the new year. The rule, which was proposed by Governor Greg Abbott and implemented by the state health department, will require clinics to bury or cremate fetal remains. Abbott has said the policy is intended to protect the health and safety of the public and that fetal remains shouldn't be disposed of in a landfill. Medical groups also question who could be forced to pay the thousands of dollars for the plan. The Center for Reproductive Rights indicated that they intend to challenge the policy in court.
Yeah. Greg Abbott, lovely person that he is. Goodness.
No, they really did this sneakily, though. Because
what do you mean?
Well, they didn't make a formal announcement that they were going to create this policy. They posted a little blurb about it in, I forget what the publication was, but there was a little blurb. And once that went into effect, there was 30 days for public comment on it. I think they gathered over like 35,000 comments on it.
Wow.
But then it just happened. So,
really?
Mm-hmm.
So they did it anyways.
What, do you know where they published it? Was it like some sort of congressional journal or something like that?
Yeah, I have it up right here. Give me one second.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man. But I mean, they talk about fetuses and they put fetuses on special, you know, in a special category. They don't make, they haven't written any laws about severed limbs.
Only fetuses at an abortion clinic. I mean, if you have a miscarriage or something like that at your house or some other non-medical place,
right?
Then I believe this falls through and you don't have to have a burial for it.
Yeah, you don't. back to where we were before, they published it in the Texas Register.
That's a document that the legislature is required to keep. Mm-hmm. And so they just put it there for public comment.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't advertise it at all.
Nope.
Still got 35,000 signatures.
Yeah, so somebody at least saw it and was probably getting the word out that this was something they were trying to enforce.
There are groups of people who pay attention to these sorts of publications looking for stuff like this. Some of the groups that you'll run into who do this are like organizations attached to education, because they're generally looking for intelligent design arguments in the various registers, because sometimes intelligent design laws get passed that way. And that's especially important in Texas, which is one of the states that, for whatever silly reason, defines how textbooks are written for a huge chunk of the United States.
Well, if you can buy that many textbooks, yeah, they have a lot of pull across the nation. Them in California.
Do.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Although not California as much as Texas. It's like a weird...
Really?
The way the laws are written in the different states gives Texas a lot more... attention than it might otherwise get. It's a weird thing.
A lot more attention than it deserves.
Yeah, yeah. That's a weird conversation I've been subjected to several times. But yeah, so fetuses, that's one thing. But then, somebody loses a limb because they're diabetic and it gets infected.
Sure.
Don't have to treat that any differently.
Frostbite in a toe,
don't have to treat that any differently. That I can go out with standard medical waste. Hmm. It's just fetuses that need to be treated differently. Let's not pretend this is anything other than what it is. Silly.
No, it's completely silly. This is just people trying to shame women in another variation.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's not even original.
No.
No, it's happened before.
Yeah. Specifically in Indiana with your friend and mine, Vice President-elect Mike Pence.
Yay. Oh, that guy.
Yeah. They tried to do that. I don't know if they succeeded in Indiana.
You know, he gets... Mike Pence, I mean, sure, he totally gets a bad rap. Oh, mm-hmm. Wait. No, he really
That's not
doesn't.
Deserved?
No, he deserves every bad word that's spoken about him. Come on. Did you hear about the needle exchange program they started up in small bits in Indiana for a while?
No, I did not, unfortunately.
There was a very bad STD and AIDS outbreak that was coming about because of, injected drugs and swapping needles. And lo and behold, a few counties were able to actually get a needle exchange program and drop those rates of infection just like almost overnight. I mean, it helped a ton. And of course, Mike Pence has rules against needle exchange programs, but he let it go on so long as they paid for him.
It's part of the it's part of his political platform that public health is actually a bad idea.
Completely.
So,
You don't have the money for it, to heck with you.
And it's especially, and why is public health a bad idea? Because, one, it costs money, but two, then he can pass a bunch of weird religious laws.
Right.
Because... there's no public law requirement to do something that he would prefer not happen.
Sure, but if you're not rich, you're not his friend, and why do you matter?
Fair. Oh, boy. So let's talk about the response, which
yes.
I think is much more positive. The Satanic Temple released a statement declaring their intention to ignore a new Texas policy requiring the burial or cremation of fetal remains. The statement, which was posted to the Satanic Temple's website, argued that burial is a well-established component of religious practice and that forcing women to take part in such practice contradicts their religious belief in the inviolability of the body. Since the state doesn't have a compelling reason to inhibit religious beliefs, as required by the First Amendment and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the temple argues that it has no legal responsibility to comply with the rule.
The Satanic Temple, I used to think of them as a troll group, and now I just have a warm fuzzy in my heart because they are helping so many people get through crud that they shouldn't have to, this.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is one of the main tenets of the Satanic Temple, is that one's own body is inviolable.
Inviolable, I think,
inviolable.
As I've heard. Viable, yeah.
Pardon me, I can't pronounce the words.
I don't think I'm pronouncing it either. My tiny vowel inventory comes out to play in these situations.
So because that's one of their religious tenets,
right.
This is directly conflicting that. Yeah. They're saying that their members don't have to comply with this law, and they are ready to take legal action if they can find a if there's a person, a Satanist in Texas, that is going through a situation like this.
Right. I do kind of wonder how it meets how the rubber meets the road on this, because it's not the Satanic Temple running an abortion plex, although
Correct.
They should. Is that something they work out with the doctor, or I'm not actually sure how the Satanic Temple would implement this, because they're not in the business of dealing with medical waste. I don't know.
Well, I do believe this is going to be kind of like, I believe it was Louisiana, where they just have a client of the abortion clinic,
mm-hmm.
a lady who got an abortion, will come in and say, raise my hand and say, hey,
right.
I had one. This is not something that I want to have done.
Yeah.
Right.
This is my bodily waste. Put it in the trash.
I would.
And then just, you know, once the doctors say, no, we can't do that, then, you know, court case.
Right. I mean, there's two ways you can go about this. Is client gets an abortion. It is buried. She has to go through that process. And then she takes the government to court on making her do something that violates her religious principles, which, you know, that I think that might be what the Satanic Temple has in mind.
Yes, I believe so.
Could definitely also take him to civil court and say, hey, I was charged all of this money.
Well, yeah. I don't think, from what I was reading as far as the costs, it's actually the medical facilities that are going to be footing the cost for this.
Okay.
One of the arguments that Abbott said was it was somehow cheaper to bury the remains than to dispose of them.
If he's just saying that, then it's not in the bill. What he says doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way that's true. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
But the other side of this, which is the way I would prefer to do it, is abortion happens, law isn't carried out, Texas goes after the medical facility and the patient.
Hmm.
For violating this law, and they go, no, I don't have to do this, RFRA. And that would be, but that's a much harder
hack.
But
yeah, that would require for the facility to comply with the wishes of the woman who's had an abortion.
I think you might find a facility that would be interested in doing that. I mean, given, you know, among the 3.5 that still exist in the state of Texas.
Right.
But
you would also have to have the Texas Attorney General want to prosecute. And
that's part of the thing is if the Texas Attorney General doesn't prosecute, then you know this is a paper tiger, and you just continue on as before while trying to get rid of the law.
Well, still having cruddy laws on the books.
No, you don't get rid of the law, but you make it. What it does is it makes clear the inefficacy of the state of Texas in pushing this law. It's like, you made this law. Here was an opportunity for you to impose the law, and you didn't. You really don't care. This is for lights. This is for press. This has nothing to do with the actual running or the safety of the citizens of the great state of Texas.
Right. And it's not even a law. It's just a rule that the Health and Human Services Commission has put on the books.
Well, if it's a rule set put in place by the Health and Human Services Commission, there are legal ramifications for not following those rule sets.
Okay.
So much like the EPA.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, troll, you use the word, not I.
when they first, you know, wanted to put up like the Baphomet in Oklahoma next to the Ten Commandments, I thought it was a bit of trolling. I thought it was an amazing idea. I've definitely come around to the idea that it's there to really help everybody and not as a troll action.
Yeah, especially after being involved in the group and being around all of these wonderful people who are very passionate about a number of different causes, women's rights and minorities, and they're not a troll group. They are
a genuine help to the society.
Yeah, using the religious rights demons against them.
So I've tried to have this conversation with Lucian Greaves and abjectly failed because he wasn't interested in it.
I'm sure he would smack you down for even hinting at the word troll.
Well, I'm sorry. I think it is a troll group. because I think the word troll has been... I think when we're talking in terms of discussions with the press, I think it's good to avoid the use of troll. And the reason... But the reason I have no trouble calling it a troll group is for the same reason I have no trouble calling myself a hacker. it's a word that meant something very specific that kind of has been appropriated and has taken on significantly more negative connotations than it originally had.
But words change over time, so
right. Do I get to fight that fight or no? I mean, sometimes they change just because they drift, but this was an intentional thing because journalists are lazy a lot of the time.
I mean, if you want to consider yourself Matthew Lillard, then, that's your choice because hackers.
Okay. Oh, God.
I don't think your tongue is as long as his, though. So.
No, probably not. But there's got to be a word for this because are they really, I don't believe they're totally on the level, but when we start talking about a list of beliefs, I totally believe that those are as deeply held as any religious belief. I have no trouble believing that at all. And I have no trouble counting an organization like the Satanic Temple among any religious group in the United States. I mean, if the American Humanist Association is legally considered a religious group in certain contexts of religion, then the Satanic Temple should have the same standard, full stop.
Yeah.
And the beliefs of the people in the Satanic Temple should be taken as seriously as any beliefs in any religion, anywhere, at any time throughout the entire history of the human race. I mean, I don't think that's a bounded constraint.
It just leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth across the country.
Right.
Because Satan is scary. Dun, dun,
dun. But I think we have to look at the context and the milieu that generated this interest in the Satanic Temple to begin with. And I think there should be, when we're having a serious discussion about what the Satanic Temple is, an honesty that the FFRF worked to get rid of the Ten Commandments in Oklahoma. American Atheists worked to get rid of the Ten Commandments in Oklahoma. AOK did a lot of work in that respect. I mean, a lot of organizations tried to get rid of that temple, tried to get rid of that
ten commandments
right.
Monstrosity.
Yeah, vomit chunk off of it, out of Oklahoma. And none of them succeeded where
just the threat of a Baphomet statue got it taken off.
Right. That's somewhere near the reason I use trolling is because it's somewhere near satire. It's somewhere near there's not a really great word in the English language that really describes what is going on here. Because it is a hack. It's a social hack. It's social engineering. It absolutely is.
Yes,
but that doesn't take away, and I say that, and I use the word trolling, but it doesn't take away from the genuineness of the reasons for it. And it's really difficult for me to take it stone cold seriously when this is the context in which it's occurring. You know what I mean?
I mean, if you want to look at it a little tongue in cheek, sure.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't take away from the fact that, religious freedom, any religion should be able to put a statue, a monument out there at the same time.
Right.
So, and that's the whole thing. If Buddhists want to, or Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Yeah,
the invisible pink reason, unicorn.
Right.
Which is so much better.
that's my favorite.
Sure, put it out there. But
I say all these things without trying to devalue this really specialized population podcast, I feel like this is a place where I can really kind of dismantle this and look at it. I'm not trying to devalue the Satanic Temple at all. I'm actually... Totally.
I know you're in favor of.
Yeah, I'm incredibly in favor. And frankly, just from an empirical basis, what they've managed to accomplish
with so little,
with minimal resources, it's incontrovertible.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yes.
And I don't want to take away from, I don't want to take away from the fact that they are defending their actual beliefs. They're not, it's not the flying spaghetti monster. Nobody in the Satanic Temple is adopting this pirates global warming crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it still comes down to church state separation. They're not trying to get extra rights or special rights.
They're trying to be equal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of really leads into like the after school Satan clubs.
Yeah.
That have started up in Portland and now in Tacoma.
Actually, yeah. Tacoma first.
Yeah.
I think it was Portland by 2 weeks.
There was a big national article. Tacoma gets first after school Satan club.
Okay, I think the first actual...
I think we announced it in Tacoma first, okay. But yeah. I believe the Portland chapter has actually got theirs up and running a little bit faster.
Very good.
But still, same thing. If there wasn't a good news club, there wouldn't be an after-school Satan club.
Right.
They want equality. If you're going to have them, then you have to let us in too.
Right. And defining the safe social bounds of religious practice in the public square, that's part of what the Satanic Temple is about. That's very obvious. And that is a deeply held belief. But the way they're going about it, again, it's not satire. I don't know how to describe it. It's not satire, but it looks like satire. It smells like satire, but it's clearly cubic zirconium. I don't know.
Definitely doesn't smell like Teen Spirit.
No, definitely doesn't smell like Teen Spirit. But and there's no decent way for me to dismantle this.
It's really hard to unpack that little kernel of like how you want to describe it.
Yeah.
But they're doing good.
Right. Yeah. And that's why trolling worked for me, because I have within my head the concept of honest for the purposes of social growth.
There's good trolling and bad trolling.
Yeah. But that's, not how they want to describe that. And again,
fair
given
enough.
Their efficacy, I'm willing to use a different word.
Totally.
But if you're telling me I shouldn't talk about it, well, I got a problem, but I don't think anybody is. So I really literally don't know where to go with this.
No, it's a hard line to cross, because if you go into somewhere where, they're trolls, that devalues what they're doing.
Yeah.
In the current vernacular, it definitely devalues a group to call them a troll.
Right.
But
there's not a better word for it.
There isn't. Yeah. I don't know what to
like
do. And unfortunately, I don't think the Satanic Temple is going to give me a word that I think really meets it, because where their focus is, well, frankly, where it should be. But I don't know.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn. And we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait a minute, not sacrificing children, that's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Has N'Gat We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster N'Gat We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an N'Gat We Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Kicking butt and taking names.
Well, how about from something that we don't know, that might be satire but isn't satire and we don't know how to describe it, to something that is most definitely satire.
Very
how about
satirical.
That? Okay.
Bring it.
A board game kickstarted by two Brits that pits Jesus Christ against St. Nicholas is at once being reviewed as blasphemous and great fun. Santa vs. Jesus, produced by London-based Como Games, places players on Team Santa or Team Jesus and attempts to amass believers through a series of game-based challenges. Kickstarter revealed that it was the most complained about game in history, in front of irreverent popular games like Cards Against Humanity and Exploding Kittens. The UK's Evangelical Alliance criticized the game as trivializing Christian belief and equating both the mascots to fictional characters.
Fictional characters.
I
okay.
love this so much.
Well, I mean, I think the punchline's in that last sentence there. I mean,
yeah, this is actually one of my favorite quotes in this article that I've read about it. Danny Webster, he's a spokesman for the Evangelical Alliance, put out a statement. And he said that with over 4 out of 10 people in the UK mistakenly thinking that Jesus was not an historical person, this game won't help correct that.
And it's frankly, well, they're trivializing Christmas and Christianity. It's like, well, no, once Santa Claus became a mascot for Christmas sale, Christianity had done enough to trivialize it. And this is really just pointing that out at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Wes, you've been to Japan.
Yes.
I've been told a lot about how Christmas is celebrated and is in fact celebrated in Japan. Do you know much about that?
A little bit. I mean, they love American holidays, and yeah. I'm going to call it an American holiday because I don't think Christmas is really treated the same way around the nation as it is, well, around the world as it is here in the U.S.
Mm. Well, I mean, this board game came out of the U.K., so at least we have...
Yeah, but I'm saying there's an American version of Christmas. There's an American version of Halloween, and Japanese people love those. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
It's kind of weird. There's always a little statue of the colonel from the KFC outside KFC restaurants.
Mm.
And around the holidays, I would always see him dressed up as Santa Claus. It was really cute.
But, like any holidays or just like the Christmas,
no, Christmas holidays?
Yeah, it's, like, did he dress up like Santa for Easter?
No, but those statues seem to always be dressed up in little holiday fashion. They would always seem to be dressed up as like, you know, holiday characters.
Yeah.
Through the season. It's kind of cute. But yeah, no, they like the holidays, but they don't believe in the holidays. And
sure. Much like most atheists.
Yeah. It's a very atheist country. Mm. Without really calling themselves atheism.
Right.
Atheists.
It's more of a, it's like we talked about the two paths that atheism generally takes on a,
it's a very,
cultural level, which is the...
It's very post-atheist. They just don't care.
Well, I would call it post-religious atheism, where there isn't a big turning away from religion. It just becomes less and less relevant, and the religious practices become more and more...
It's a family thing at most. Yeah. I mean, they go there for social events, you know, to temples or churches very, very rarely.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's nice. Do we know what the game-based challenges are?
Yeah, they have a few different types of challenges that you can do in the game. but they're not overtly like, tell me facts about Jesus.
Right.
It's like one of the challenges I saw is you have a word search and you have to find the word God. Can you find God? Find God in the word search. And if you can find God in 60 seconds, then you get to steal the other team's believers.
Okay.
So they're, it's the actual like cards, the turns aren't even offensive. They're just taking offense at the fact that they're using the Jesus figure in this game.
Yeah, I can think of a couple people off the top of my head, Ken Ham, who would find this, who would find it kind of
This is so tongue in cheek. It's very cute.
Yeah.
It is cute. It looks like a fun little game.
Thanks for my present, Santa. They look natural, right?
The other fun thing about
okay.
this. Really?
Yeah. It's.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's
yeah, those,
the little.
That's what that is.
Those
okay.
are your believer cards.
It is what it is.
The other fun thing about this game is when you start playing, everyone gets divvied off into teams. I did a lot of reading and I actually kind of want to buy it now.
Yeah. No kidding.
You get divided into two teams. You're either Team Jesus or Team Santa. And there's character cards.
Okay.
So. Everyone on your team has to be a character.
Okay.
And you call your other teammates and everyone else by their character names. And apparently if you call people by their real names, you get docked believers for it. So nice. Some of like the Santa team, you have Santa and Mrs. Claus and Rudolph. You could be the Candy Cane, Vixen, which is a reindeer on a stripper pole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Team Jesus has, you know, Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, Joseph, Gabriel. You could be a donkey.
Oh.
And a couple of wise men.
Okay.
But yeah, the challenges are pretty inoffensive and kind of silly.
Maybe a an aired playing of this game for the Christmas season, if it comes out in time?
It's already out. They did a Kickstarter, and it was funded within 48 hours.
I would think, yeah.
So it's they had a pretty low goal for it, too. It was £4,800, I think, was
so probably just printing costs or completion funds or something like that?
Yeah, they ended up getting about £7,100.
And okay.
If you go to the Kickstarter page, there's an order now button. I believe they ship to the U.S., too.
Oh, that might be fun.
Oh, and it's on Amazon.
Okay.
So. Oh, this is so cute. One of the Jesus cards says, last night I prayed so hard my hands were bleeding.
All right, yeah.
Just take that as you will.
This is a. This sounds pretty great.
This sounds awfully cute.
And I'm not. I don't know if I've ever said, but I'm not really a game player. I don't do board games. I don't do card games.
Well, a lot of people
get
are
you
comparing
Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, a lot of people are actually comparing this to a game that's in the same lines as Card Against Humanity or Exploding Kittens.
Okay, so Cards Against Humanity, I've played.
Yeah, it's apples to apples.
I've also played apples to apples, and I actually had more fun with apples to apples because you had to try harder.
Well, you just have to know your audience, of, like who's reading the question.
Because we still would come up with really terrible stuff with apples to apples. We just had it wasn't done for us. We had to do it, and I kind of like that a little bit more. That said, what Cards Against Humanity.
There's some seriously messed up stuff.
Does? Yeah. is pretty amazing. So I really...
They are creative.
They are an incredibly creative group of people. Yeah.
The things you could do with bees. Yeah.
Not the bees.
Or were they had a... Was it last year they had a Black Friday sale for Bull?
Yeah, and, that was last year or the year before.
Yeah, it was actually BS, and then you actually received BS in the mail?
Yeah,
like,
no,
literally.
You did,
she
and
does
you got...
This.
I didn't do it. My coworker did the BS one,
yeah.
And they sent you like a cute little pin button that was scratch and sniff and smelled like poop. No, they've done some really interesting things. Did you hear about their holiday promotion that they did this year?
No.
In years past, they've done the...
raised funds,
you know, whatever days of Christmas or the Hanukkah gifts last year.
Yeah.
This year they are digging a hole.
Seriously.
I don't know if it's still going or not, but their holiday promotion this year was they are digging a hole. You donate money to fund a giant hole
that they are live streaming
dug in the
earth.
And
that's it.
It's like $5 for 3 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
And they were at many, many hours of digging.
Yeah, the last I checked on it, they were over $90,000 donated.
They're not putting anything in this hole.
No, they're just digging a hole. They are just digging
a hole. No donations going anywhere.
Very large Kubota tractor or something, just like
digging a hole. This is art. This is art.
Yeah, they talk about trolls. Are they trolls?
They're definitely. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about. This is a step, like, if I were to, like, good trolling, this is really obvious stuff. I fail to see a positive result of digging a huge hole.
No, I think it's more just a commentary on stuff that people don't.
Where when the Satanic Temple does whatever it is that they do, there is a obvious and notable public good that happens when they succeed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean...
an obvious goal, and they almost always achieve it.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm okay success. With not calling it trolling. It should be something else. I just don't know what to call it. Definite obvious good.
You should just call it epic.
Epic.
Yeah.
No, because that makes me sound like I play like...
achievement level epic.
Yeah, that makes me sound like I play a CS Source player. I don't want to be a CS Source player.
Well, there is a time when you're like 13 years old, everybody wanted to be a CS Source player.
No, I played the original, what did they call it?
What, original Counter-Strike?
No, it was Quake 1 engine, and you could play
Yeah, well, there's
Team Fortress. I played a lot of Team Fortress.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I never did get into TF.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Quake, GL Quake, Quake 2, a little bit of CS, not too much. Battlefield 1942.
Yeah.
Mod Desert Combat.
I've seen a lot of really fantastic games of Cards Against Humanity played, and it's a really wonderful game to observe being played because it's a great snapshot into people's heads. So they've done really good work there.
It's fun to play when you're drunk.
And there's a story I was going to tell, but I realized it would get me in a lot of trouble if I did. Mm. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We'll see you in a bit. And that's the end of this podcast. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. You can voicemail us at 844-753-7842. That's 844-SKEPTIC. You can visit us on Twitter on askanatheistwa. This episode was pre-recorded. Thank you guys very much. See you next week.